was the boss of this company that needed to call one of his employees. He had an urgent problem with something at his work. So he called the employee, and the little child answered the phone and whispered and said, "Hello." And the boss asked, "Is your daddy at home?" And the little boy said, "Yes." "May I talk with him?" And the little boy said, "No." "Well, is your mommy there?" "Yes." "May I speak with her?" "No." "Well, is there anyone else there that I may talk with?" And she said, "The police." And now he's getting excited. And, "May I speak with the police?" "No. He's busy." "Busy doing what?" "He's talking to mommy and daddy and the fireman." Oh, now he's really getting concerned. And just then he heard what he thought was the sound of a helicopter flying over the house. And he said, "What's that noise?" Child said, "It's a helicopter." Now the boss shouts, what's going on down there?" And the little voice answered back, "The search team is getting out of the helicopter." "Search team? Why are they there? Who are they looking for?" And the little child giggles and says, "Me." I don't know how you people in Georgia handle a situation like this, but in Alabama, that child will be eating his food standing up for a few days. Can you imagine going through an ordeal where you have lost your child and you don't know really where to begin to start looking for them? Can you imagine, and it's going through your mind, how you now realize just how valuable they are to you. And to lose them would be a terrible thing indeed. In Luke chapter 15, we have three stories about three people who lost something that was very valuable to them. I want us to read these stories. It's a lengthy reading, but it has a lot to do with what I want to talk about tonight. Luke 15, beginning with verse 1. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls for her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Then he said, "A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed into a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. A man had lost a sheep, his livelihood. A lady had lost a coin, which was about worth, in that day, about a day's wages. Today's value would be somewhere around $50. We probably wouldn't go to near the length that she went to find $50. But yet she did. And a man suffered the greatest loss, the loss of his son. All three of them began looking for what they had lost. These are three very valuable stories. And we can understand each one of them, can't we? We understand what it's like to lose something that's important to us and to have to look for it and try to find it and try to get it back. We can identify with what these people were going through in life. Now, when Jesus was telling these stories, he was not an entertainer. He did not tell these stories to entertain the people that he was speaking to. He was speaking to a specific audience that needed to hear what he had to say. Now, if you back up in Luke 15 to verses 1 and 2, you will see that Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. These Pharisees and teachers were representatives of God in their society. They were technically the elite of the religious people of that day and time. These were the men who would be the most familiar with God's Word. Now, we also find at the beginning of this story that these Pharisees and these teachers that represented God were upset with Jesus because he was eating with sinners. So Jesus gives them this illustration because of their attitude. Now, you know, what is so wrong about this attitude that upset these men? Why were they so irate with Jesus? Well, let me give you a modern day example. There was a gospel meeting at a congregation some time back, and at the close of the lesson, the invitation was given for those who wanted to respond to the invitation, either to give their lives to the Lord or to rededicate their lives to the Lord. And the first person to walk down the aisle was a community lady. She was very well known in the area. Or she was a prostitute. She came down the aisle weeping bitterly, openly weeping because of her past life. She regretted her past life. And now she expresses her desire to give her life to the Lord, to be baptized into Christ, and to become a member of that congregation, to work for the cause of Christ with these people. Could have heard a pin drop in that room. Silence was deafening as the people looked around at one another at the response of this lady. People began to whisper and to mull about one another about who she was and what she was and what she did, how horrible thing this woman has responded to the gospel of Christ. When the service was over, they treated their new sister in Christ like she had the plague. It was very apparent. The people of this church wanted absolutely nothing to do with her. She wanted to be a Christian, fine. Let her do it somewhere else. She's not welcome here. They would not forgive her of her past. And they would not accept her as a forgiven child of God. That's why Jesus told this story to these men. Because they were just like this church. You see, they had risen to a level of eliteness in their religion. They looked at themselves as being the best of the best. And because they were the best of the best, they could not accept anyone of lesser importance. To their way of thinking, a person who had committed so much sin was absolutely worthless to them. And in their own thinking, would have been worthless to God. They were like garbage that needed to be set aside on the side of the road to be picked up by the trash collector and let someone else deal with her. Once a person had reached this level of depravity, they cannot be of any value to God and be any use to the kingdom. Jesus was telling these Pharisees and these teachers of the law, don't you understand? These are the people that I came for. Regardless of how horrible your life has been, the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you. It can make you well. It can make you whole. And Jesus said, I have come to offer them forgiveness, just as I came to offer forgiveness to you. You know, sometimes I wonder today in the church just how many Pharisees and scribes we have. People who have put themselves on this pedestal and look down with enjoyment at the lives of other people. You know, when we begin to try to specify what kind of sinners we want to be saved, we put ourselves in the shoes of God. Because that's God's job, to decide who will be saved and who will be lost. It is not yours and mine. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 9, or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, for neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And we hear that verse, we say, that's right! We don't want them people. God's not going to take them. I'm not going to take them. Let's finish this verse. And such were some of you. God has put us all in the same barrel. Either you are for me or you are against me. And you can yell back, but I've never deceived. I've never committed fornication. I'm not an idolater. I'm not a homosexual. I'm not an adulterer. Maybe not. But you're not godly either. And either you're for him or you are against him. There is no in between. Such were some of you. Let me finish that verse. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. In other words, my friends, these people are just like you were. And when you put on that crown of judgment, it doesn't put you in the shoes of God, even though some people think that it does. They're really no different than we are. Because we all need salvation that comes from Jesus Christ. And as Jesus said, these are the ones that God looked for. These are the ones that He was looking to save. He was the great physician. He didn't come to heal those who were well. He came to heal those who were sick. Another thing we want to talk about very quickly God went to great lengths to save your soul. Now, I don't think we have anybody in this room that would categorize themselves in that same list of people that I just read out from the Scripture that will not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't think we have anyone like that in here. But everyone in here at one time was without God. Everyone in here at one time was lost. And God went to the same length to save your soul as He did the adulterer, the fornicator, the idolater, the drunkard. Same thing happened to Christ for you that happened for them. Just as this man went to great lengths to find that one lost sheep. Just like this woman went to great lengths to find that one coin. And just like the father waited diligently to see and watch his son come home. Any one of these stories would have proven Jesus' point here. But he told three. There's some reasons why he told three. Number one, when God wants us to remember something, he repeats himself. When God wants us to remember something, he repeats himself. When God wants us to remember something, what does he do? He repeats himself. Three times, he is trying to get the message across to these people. God loves all. God wants to save all, regardless of who you were, what you were, what you do. Salvation is for you. Today, I want you to remember this over and over and over again. God went to great lengths to save your soul. The mother and the daddy and the policeman and the fireman went to great lengths to find that little boy who was hiding from them. Now, the sheep wasn't hiding. He had just gotten separated from the fold. The coin was an inanimate object. It didn't even know it was lost. The young man deliberately left, but he had enough within himself to deliberately come home. And that's where we stand tonight, in his shoes. If we have walked away from God, we stand in his shoes. And it doesn't matter what you've done. We don't know what this young man did. He probably may have done all the things that I just mentioned earlier. I don't know. But when he came home, the Father welcomed him and forgot all of what had happened in the past. And tonight, if there is someone here in this audience who has walked away from God and has walked back into this world, let me tell you, my friend, God is waiting for you to come home. And He will forgive you. He will remove your sin. And He will forget all of the past. And tonight, my friend, if you are here and you are not a child of God, and it doesn't matter how you have lived, what you have done, who you are, how far you've gone into the world, if you will come to Him tonight and obey the gospel of Christ, God will forgive you. And He will remember none of these things that you have done. God will go to great lengths to save your soul. Let Him save your soul. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand to sing.